But I want this world to know to whom I belong. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Or you could look at it this way. I'm leaving. No doubt. I am leaving. Praise God. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 33. The book of Genesis, chapter number 33. Glad you're in the house of God. Good to see you tonight. Good to see Brother Bell. Come in. Didn't see him till he had him testify. Good to see you. Glad you're here, Brother Bell. Praise the Lord. Thinking about you today. And yeah, glad to see you here. Praise the Lord. Appreciate them. Hallelujah. Oh, appreciate the Lord. God wants to help us again tonight. God stirred my heart about this message this afternoon, and let's let the Lord help us. Genesis chapter number 33, and I want to begin reading tonight. Hold on, write her down. In verse number 18, Genesis chapter number 33, and verse number 18, it reads like this. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. And I want to preach for just a little while tonight on this thought of someone's going to drink from your well. Someone's going to drink from your well. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for love and mercy and goodness. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to come together in the house of God. Father, we thank you, God, for your good presence that we sense. But I stand in dire need of the Holy Ghost anointing. Ask, Lord, to set my soul ablaze in a flame for to preach thy word and thy word alone. God, in order to hear and our hearts to receive, deal with every heart, deal with every life, deal with every soul, and move, oh God, as we gather around these altars. We give you all the praise and glory and the power and the honor in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight simply on this thought of someone's going to drink from your well. Now, just giving you the story, the background, this is the story of Jacob. The Bible tells us Jacob, the deceiver, the supplanter, the heel grabber, Jacob. The Bible lets us know that he had deceived his brother and stole the birthright and the blessing, all of that. And so the Bible said that he had to leave and flee for his life. The Bible said he leaves the land of Canaan, leaves the land of promise, and he goes into Paddan Aram. Bible says he's there for somewhere around 20 years, give or take a couple. He's in the city, he's in the country of Paddan Aram. And God begins to stir his heart and he says, I'm going to come back in to the promised land. And so he's headed back to the promised land, and on his way back, as he's getting close to the promised land, he gets word that Esau and 400 men are coming to meet him. Now I got news for you. If you think Esau was coming to pat him on the back, say, we're glad you're here, you got another thing coming. Amen. He didn't need 400 men with him to come and say, glad you're back. I got news for you. Esau's coming to kill him. I believe that. I believe he's come to take him out. Amen. But the Bible said that Jacob realized he was coming and was fearful and began to set everybody in groups. And the Bible said the night before he met with Esau, remember the story, he crossed over Jabbok, met with God. Oh, God touched his life, changed him, changed his name from Jacob to Israel. For as a prince hast thou found favor with God, reigned by God, changed his name. The next day he meets Esau. You know, they had a great reunion. God had softened Esau's heart, had a great reunion. Everything was wonderful. Esau says, hey, why don't you just, I'll leave some of my men and come with you. And he said, no, y'all just go on and we'll just ease on away. We've got young ones and flocks. So Esau and Jacob depart. And then Jacob, the Bible says, comes on into the promised land. And when he comes from Paddan Aram back into the promised land, so where we're reading tonight, the first thing that he does, he comes to that city of Shechem, outside of Shalem. The Bible said when he gets there, he buys a field and he builds an altar. And I want to preach a little while from this story on this thought of someone's going to drink from your well. Just hold on. You say, preacher, it'll get clear in just a little bit. The first thing I want us to understand is this. When the man of God, when Jacob comes into the promised land, the first thing that he does is he buys a field. He buys a field. Now understand that this field is the Bible lets us know in Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 6 that Jacob's forefathers had been there. That Abraham had come through that same area. And it was there in Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 6, in the same area where Abraham receives the promise of God. I said it's in that area where Abraham got the promise of God. Up unto you and to your seed I'm going to bless. And the Bible says when Jacob comes back in, he comes to that place and he buys supplies that field. You know what he was saying? He was saying, this is more than just an historical marker. This is more than just a promise that God made to my fathers. But I will own this thing. I will possess this thing. I will buy this field. Oh, it's got to go beyond just Abraham's. I will possess this thing. He buys that field. The field tonight is a type, church. It's a type of the promises of God, or in other words, a type of the Word of God. He said, I'm going to buy that field. I'm going to possess the Word of God. Can I tell you and tell you, make up your mind, this is going to be mine. Tell you, make up your mind, the Word of God is for me, and it's real. It's not just for pastor. It's not just for evangelist, but it's for me, and it's mine. Hallelujah. You must possess this thing. If it's not yours, then all you are is a religious bystander. Oh, you must come to that place where you say, God, I want this to be mine. So the Bible said he buys a field there. And as we look at that field, it's situate between two mountains. Or shall we put it this way? From that field, you can see two mountains. Maybe others, but two in particular. You can look out and you can see Mount Gerizim. And you can look over here and you can see Mount Ebal. Okay. From his tent, you can see Mount Gerizim and you can see Mount Ebal. Now, I don't know which way he pitched his tent, but I kind of think he pitched it so when he came out, he got a look at Gerizim and he got a look at Ebal. What's the big deal? What do you mean, preacher? Because if you'll go back, how many of you know, as you look in the Word of God, later on in time, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, they were going to represent something. Mount Gerizim was going to represent the blessing of God, and Mount Ebal was going to represent the cursing of God. When they got into the promised land, Moses put the blessings on Gerizim, put the curses on Ebal. And it said, if you'll mind the Word of God, if you'll do what God said, God will bless you. But if you forsake God, God will curse you. Every day he walked out, he looked up, he saw the verdant the mountain called Gerizim, and said, if I'll live with God, I'll walk in his will and way, walk after his commandments, God will bless me. I'll be verdant, I'll flourish like Mount Gerizim. But if I reject those commandments, I'll be barren like a rocky Ebal. Oh, listen. Oh, can I tell you tonight? Buy a field. Buy a field. The psalmist said, buy the truth and sell it not. We're living in a land where truth is falling in the streets. Church, rise up and buy the truth and sell it not. He said, I'm going to buy the truth. Young people, buy the truth and sell it not. Make up your mind. You'll live by the truth of God. You live by that book. You live by that book. Oh, it's interesting tonight. The Bible said that he comes into that land. And he buys that field and he spreads his tent there. I like that. He buys a field and he spreads his tent. You know what he was saying? He's saying, I'm going to base my life right here. Now, they were an agrarian society, very nomadic. But when he spread his tent, what he was saying is, this everything is based right here. Everything is going to revolve around this tent. My flocks are going to be there. Everything is going to be revolving around and situated around this tent. You know what he was saying? He's saying, I base my life on this field. Oh, I've centered my life on this field. Oh, saints of the living God, hear me tonight. Buy the truth and sell it not. Spread your tent on this book. Place your life on this book. Live by its statutes. Live by its commandments. Live by its precepts. Rejoice in its promises. Put your field. Base your life on the Word of God. Base your life. Base your life. Buy that field. Moms and dads. Oh. Moms and dads. Set your life on that field. Hallelujah. Appreciate the testimony, sis, about your kids. Hallelujah. Moms and dads, hear me. Build your life on the Word of God. So I'm going to tell you, if you don't, your children are going to be cursed. Oh, shout now. Yeah. I didn't think I was going to say that. They were just going to go ahead and preach a while. Listen, moms and dads, if you don't want to go to heaven and you want to go to hell, that's fine. But at least live right so your kids know the truth. Don't send them to hell because you aren't willing to base your life on the Word of God. Quit basing your life on what you want to do and what your flesh says and what your appetites are. And get back to putting your life on the Word of God. Set it on the Word of God. Base it there. So he buys that field. When he spread his tent on it, what he was saying is, this is my foundation. I'm trying to get to the message. This is the introduction. We're going to get there. Hallelujah. He said, this is my foundation. Saints, can I tell you, this is our foundation. Don't get mad at brother, man. I can tell you, Assembly of God ain't your foundation. Oh, shout now. Yeah, come on now. I'm going to tell you, Assembly of God, they keep going the way they're going. They got problems. I can tell you that. They got big problems. That ain't my foundation. My life ain't based on them. It ain't based on the organization I'm with. It ain't based on any organization. I'm telling you, my life is based on this book. It's based on this book. Oh, put your life. Get it founded on the Word of God. Get it founded on the Word of God. So he buys a field. Let's buy that. And then the second thing he does is the Bible said he buys the field. I'd like to preach there a while. I've got to get on with this thing. He buys a field, he spreads his tent, and then he builds an altar. Whew, I like that. Then he builds an altar. Why? Because he realized everything I get in my life is going to come via that altar. You didn't like that. I'm going to say, everything I get in life from God is going to come by way of that altar. You look in the Word of God, there is a central theme that runs from Genesis through Revelation. That's the altar. That's the altar. You and I can commune with God. That altar. Oh, you show me a Christian. You show me a Christian that strays from that altar. I'll show you a Christian that ain't a Christian. Oh, let me just put it like Bunyan. You don't get mad at me. You can get mad at Bunyan. Bunyan said, he that ain't a praying man ain't a Christian man. Ooh, boy. We're going to shout in a minute. Just hold on. We're getting there. Amen. Huh? But he buys that field and then he builds that altar. He realizes, I've got to build an altar. If I'm going to have what Abraham had, I've got to get it at an altar. He knew that his daddy built an altar. He knew that his granddaddy built an altar. He knew that his forefathers built altars. And he said, if I'm going to get anything from God, it's going to come by way of an altar. Hear me tonight. That's how the things of God come to our life, is via prayer at an old-fashioned altar. Whether it's here tonight, whether it's in your prayer room at home, whatever it might be, but at an altar for God. Now the Bible said he built that altar and he called it this. He called it El Elohe Israel. Now understand this. Israel was not a nation yet. Israel was just his name. Okay, you got to get this. Israel is not a nation yet. Israel is just Israel. It's just his name, Israel. You understand? And so when he built this altar, he said, El Elohe Israel. The literal transliteration from Hebrew is simply this. God, you're my God. God, you're the God of Israel. Or in other words, he's the one saying it. God, you're my God. Hallelujah. He said, I'm gonna buy the field. It's going to be my promise. It's going to be my book. And God, you're going to be my God. Oh, tonight, we need to make up our mind. This thing's going to be mine. Oh, it's going to be my revival and my blessing and my Holy Ghost and my touch of heaven and my salvation experience. It's going to be mine. It's El Elohe Israel. God, you're my God. Listen, thank God your mama prays, young people, but you need to get in an altar and pray for yourself. Thank God granddaddy prays, but you need to get in an altar and pray for yourself. You know, just got news for you. Just because you're raised in a good Pentecostal church don't mean you're a good Pentecostal. Oh, shout now. Yeah. Woo-hoo. We're big boots. We're going to shout. Just hold on. We'll shout. Our children, this is all they've known. The road is all they've known. Daughter was one when we went full time. She's 17 and a half. And that's all my children have known. They've been raised in church 250 to 300 times a year. That's It's our life. Been raised at an altar. That's all they've known is altars. Since they were children, they've been at an altar. We held them. We kept them with us when we prayed. My wife has shouted all over the church holding babies. We prayed for folks through to the Holy Ghost holding babies. Want to come and take them. We said we appreciate it and thank you, but we're going to hold them. Hallelujah. Want them raised at that altar. How many of you know just them being raised at that altar didn't mean it was theirs? No. There come a day in their life they realize, I got to make what mom and daddy have my own. And both of them, oh, thank God it was young. 5 years of age. Oh, they both. Shelly, when she turned five, around the age of five anyway, she made Jesus. I said, Lord, be my Savior. Made it her own. Found Jesus and salvation for herself. Say, preacher, can a young person get saved? Yes, they can. She got saved, born again. Oh, my boy, he was five. Same thing. She was in Arcata, California. He was saved in Dumas, Arkansas. Oh, but then at the age of seven, we were at a youth rally on a Saturday night at a youth rally. My daughter said, hallelujah, what daddy has, I want to make it mine. Oh, she's at that altar, not for my blessing, but for her own. That night got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 2 years later, he turned seven at a family camp in Missouri. Hallelujah. He ran to an old-fashioned altar. Oh, and God, he made it his own. Said, I want to make this thing mine. Came to his own altar and let God do work in his life. Tonight, you need to say, God, you're my God, and this thing's mine. Hey, Israel. So he buys a field, and he builds an altar. What he was saying is, Abraham's altar's not good enough. I got to build my own. He could have found where Abraham had built an altar, but he said, that's not good enough. I got to build my own. But I'm preaching tonight on someone's going to drink from your well. He comes into the land. The first thing he does, he buys the field. And then he builds an altar. And then he digs a well. He said, preacher, wait a minute. I don't see that there. It's not written there. John chapter 4 tells us that Jesus is going through Samaria. And he goes outside of the place called Sychar to the place of Jacob's well. All of the scholars concur that it was during this time. It was right here when Jacob dug that well on that ground outside of that city of Shechem. Hallelujah. It's Jacob's well. You know what's interesting? There are a lot of things in the Holy Land or in Israel, in the promised, whatever you want to call it. When you go there, there are a lot of sites that are disputed. They're not sure exactly which mound was Calvary. There's a couple different ones that could have fit could have this one been or this one could have been. In Bethlehem, they're not sure exactly, one says, well, this was where he's born. You know, they're different. But you know what? Even different sects and different religions all agree about one place. That's Jacob's well. They can all tell you that's it right there. That's Jacob's well. You see, what he did was he bought a field, he built an altar, and then he dug a well. Hallelujah. Now, let me just stop here by way of introduction, and now we're just about to preach. How many of you know that water is a type of the Holy Ghost? Water is a type of the Spirit of God. And Jacob said, we're going to have to build, or going to have to dig a well. Type of this for that. Now you got to understand, in those Old Testament times, water was extremely important. In that arid desert in which they lived, that arid climate, water was important. That's why a lot of the towns are near rivers or by lakes, or they're near and close to wells. Oh, hallelujah. Tonight I want to preach to you for a little while on this thought of someone's going to drink from your well. He bought a field, he built an altar, and then he dug a well. And there's a couple reasons that he dug a well. First of all, he dug a well because he said, if I don't dig a well, we're going to die. If I don't dig a well, that water is our life sustenance. We've got to have water. And if I don't dig a well, we're going to die. Listen to me tonight, church. Can I preach to you for just a little while? We're going to have to dig a well. If we don't dig a well, if we don't have water, if we don't have a move of the Holy Ghost, we're going to die. Can I tell you, a move of the Holy Ghost is not optional. I said a move of the Spirit of God is not optional. We must have God's Spirit moving in our life. We must have His Spirit moving in our churches. You know what? So many times we come to the services and we think, well, if God moves, that's great. But if He doesn't, that's fine too. We'll just get out earlier and go to Burger King. Come on now.
I'm here to tell you, it is a must. I said, we must have the Spirit moving in our life. He realized, I've got to dig a well. Why? It is my life sustenance. Can I tell you, the move of the Holy Ghost, that's the life-giving force. I said, it's the sustenance of you and I, the Spirit of God moving in our lives. Moms and dads, dig a well. Let your children see you filled with Holy Ghost. Grandmas and grandpas, dig a well. Let these children see you filled with the Holy Ghost. Dig a well. He said it's our sustenance. It's going to sustain us. When the problems come, it's going to sustain us. When the trials come, when the heat comes, it's going to sustain us. Dig a well. Dig a well. So he dug it because it was his life sustenance. And the second reason he dug it, now, let me explain before you holler heretic. And you'll see what I'm saying, but let me use this word. The second reason that he dug it was for self-reliance. Now, not like you're thinking about. Let me explain. Not the self-reliance of being relying on self, but let me put it to you this way. Jacob dug that well because he said, if I don't dig a well, we're going to die. We've got to have water. We're going to die. And he dug that well. And he said, the other reason I got to dig a well is because if I don't dig a well on my property, we're going to have to go out there to that world and drink its water. You see, back then they had public wells. And folks could go to the public well and get the water. Do you remember the story of Moses when he's there on the backside of the desert and he comes near that well and Reuel's daughters had brought the sheep and they were going to feed the sheep, but the shepherds started to drive them away. You remember the story? It was the public well. There was problems at the public well. And what Jacob was saying, he said, I'm going to buy a field, I'm going to build my altar, and I'm going to dig a well. Why? Oh, that my children don't have to run to this world to find what they need. That my children don't have to go to the public wells to find what they need. Oh, listen, can I tell you, First Assembly of God, we've got to dig a well. Why? Because if we don't dig a well, our young people are going to run to this world to find their entertainment. They'll run to this world to find their joy. They'll run to this world to find what this world has. If you don't build an altar, if you don't dig that well, that's where they're going. Listen, don't you dare stand and say, I can't understand why our young people won't get on fire for God. If you ain't on fire for God, oh God, help us. Go talk to me about why our young people won't get in and serve God. If you're not going to get in and serve God. Huh? We need to dig a well. I can tell you, let me tell you why our young people ran to this world's music and this world's dress and this world's everything this world has. I can tell you why it loves that world. Oh, because that church didn't dig a well. I said, there was no life in it. Listen, I've been to those churches. They got a nice form, but there's no life-giving sustenance. There's nothing there. They got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. No wonder young people don't want to go. But tonight I can take you to a church, oh, in California. I mean, they don't have anything in the realms of what you think you need to have in religiosity. Meet in an old warehouse building. Oh, may not have the best this and the best that. I can tell you, on their Tuesday night youth, they run 70 kids. Oh, I can tell you why they come. Not for the programs, because they ain't got any. Not for the fads, because they don't have any. You know what they do on Tuesday night? They sing good songs out of a hymn book, and they preach the gospel. Tell them they're dying all the way to hell and they need God. Those young people flood that altar. Why? They found a well with life-giving source. We must dig a well. We must dig a well. If we don't dig a well, they're going to run to that world. They're going to run to that world. Let's dig a well. Moms and dads, let's dig a well. I said, let's dig a well that our children want to get in and drink from it. Dug that well. He said, because if I don't dig it, they're going to run to this world. We've stopped our wells. And when they're stopped, they'll run to this world to find something to drink. Because they're thirsty. Everybody, they're thirsty. They're thirsty for something. When they walk into the church, they ain't got nothing. You think about the nation of India, how different it could have been when a young man walked into full gospel churches that didn't have anything. And he walked in and he walked out. There was no well. And he tried their churches and found it nothing. And he walked out, found Hinduism. His name is Gandhi. You know that about him, that he first started looking in full gospel churches. But he went to a church that didn't have a well. And India was thrust into paganism. What would have happened if somebody would have dug a well? What would have happened tonight to India if somebody had dug a well and somebody, oh, had a move of God and somebody had the touch of heaven? And when they came in, oh, they didn't see all the stuff of the world. They didn't see the worldliness. No, what they saw was the life-giving presence of God in the service. What would happen? Let me tell you what Goshen needs. Goshen doesn't need another fad buster. Goshen doesn't need another Megatron type deal. What it needs is somebody to dig a well, a move of the Holy Ghost, where folks can say, I can get help there. I can get help. I can get help. You need to dig a well. You need to dig a well. It's our life sustenance. It's our self-reliance. You know, my great-grandfather, Assembly of God preacher, he died in 54. Of course, I never met him. I was born way after that. So I'll let you know. Capital W. Decades after that. But anyway. I was talking to my aunt, his only daughter. It's actually my great aunt. I was talking to her, and she was telling me, you know, I remember when I first got saved, she was telling me about, you know, my grandpa and the revivals he'd preach. He had nothing he'd preach. They always started with 2-week revivals, and usually we went about 6. That was kind of about normal then. And she was telling me about how they went to church every night. And I understand my folks, they were poor folks. They lived in Oklahoma. They worked in cotton fields, and they had sawmills. That's where they're from. That's where they work all day long in that sawmill. I've got an old notebook that my grandpa had. And he'd write, I guess he'd work during the day and pray for sermons. God to speak to him. And as he's working, he'd pull that little notepad out and he'd write sermon notes. And so I got sermon notes on one side and the other side you flip it over and there's numbers, board feet on the other side, you know. He's getting that nice sermon. You know. That's what they did. Then she said, we'd come home. We work from can't see to can't see. Oh, we'd get home. We'd try to get the chores done real quick and we'd all throw something down to eat real quick, and we'd hop on an old, either the old flatbed truck or sometimes the old wood wagon. Oh, we'd head off to the revival. 6 weeks, every night, not miss a night. I looked at her, I said, Aunt Jessie, how did you do it? You know what she said? She said, it was something we lived. Oh, it was something we lived. It was our life. It was our life. It was our life. We were digging wells. We were digging wells. There was something there. There was something there. Let's dig a well. He dug it for self-reliance, for his life sustenance, and the third reason he dug it is this. He said, because if I don't dig that well, my posterity won't have any place to go. I've got to dig that well. Today, everybody can still find Jacob's well. He dug that well. And after he dug that well, 1,700 years later, approximately, give or take a few, about 1,700 years later, a little lady, doesn't even call her name, a little lady in desperate need, comes to a well. Hallelujah. Outside of Sychar. near the place where Jacob had spread his tent. Oh, and that lady comes, that little widow, that little woman comes, oh, to that well 1700 years later. And when she comes to that well, she met a man by the name of Jesus. Met a man that told her everything that ever she did. Oh, she met the Christ. Can I tell you why she met Him? She met Him because somebody dug a well. Somebody dug a well and she met Jesus. I wonder tonight, can folks meet Jesus in your life? Have you dug a well? Can God send somebody to you to find life's answer? Have you dug a well, moms and dads, that your kids can drink from? What Jacob said is, I'm going to dig this well. Why? That down the road, my posterity can drink from this well. That they can come here and they can find the life-giving water. Oh, are we digging such that our children can find the move of the Holy Ghost? Are we raising up young people that know what the reality of the Holy Ghost is? Why? Because we've dug a well. Dug a well. Moms and dads, let me preach to you for just a little bit. Yeah, we had youth retreat. Now this is mom and dad retreat. Praise God. Moms and dads, dig a well. Dig a well. Oh, your children need to see you full of the Holy Ghost. They need to see you drinking from that well. They need to see Pentecostal moms and dads. Listen, I'm just going to go ahead and get on down where we live. Oh, if the only place you pray is in church, you ain't dug nothing. I said, if the only place you pray is in church, you haven't dug nothing and your kids know it. Moms and dads, they need to hear you crying out to God in the midnight hour. They need to know that mom and dad pray. They need to see mom and dad praise God at home. They need to see mom and dad shout in the Holy Ghost at home. Grandmas and grandpas, they need to know you've got a well. They need to know it. Someone's going to drink from your well. Moms and dads, someone's going to drink from your well. If your well is polluted, your kids are going to be polluted. You know, I never could figure that out. Before I went full-time evangelist, I was associate pastor / youth pastor / janitor / maintenance man / you know how that goes. You know how that goes. But anyway, no. No, you know, a little church guy was starting and we were helping him, working for Jesus. Wonderful. Had two teenage girls. They were sisters in our youth group. And they were wicked as a day is long. I mean, they are wishy-washy in and out. There sometimes, not there sometimes. Then I got to thinking about it. Well, problem is they're acting just like their mom and dad. Their mom and dad only come once in a while. They only come when it's convenient. Man, one day that dad's talking to me after service one night. He said, I just don't understand why my daughters won't serve God. I just don't understand why they don't want to get in, serve God. I didn't know as much as I do now. Oh, I wish I'd had some of this evangelist boldness back then. Oh, I wanted to say, it's because they're living just like you, man. They're drinking from that well, and they're just like you. Oh, come on now. Woo, shout now. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, Paul could say, follow me as I follow Christ. With a clear conscience, he said, if you'll live your life the way I'm living, and he wasn't boasting, he wasn't patting himself on the back. What he was saying is, I've dug a well. Come drink from it. It's real. It's good. I'm living my life, and if you'll live like this, you'll make it to glory. Moms and dads, let's live our life so that young people around us can say, I won't live like that, and they can make it to glory. Listen, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, God ought to be able to come to these young people and say, if you'll live like brother so-and-so, if you'll live like sister so-and-so, you'll make it and I'll bless you. Give us some folks that'll dig a well. That'll dig a well. Because someone's going to drink from your well. Let me try to close. You see tonight, do you understand that we're still digging from some wells? I mean, we're still drinking from some wells. We're still drinking from a well dug by a man by the name of Luther. You see, Martin Luther dug a well called the just shall live by faith. We're still drinking from that well. You know, we're still drinking from a well dug by John Wesley. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We're still drinking from that well. We're still drinking from a well dug by Charles Parham. Oh, outside of Stone's Folly, near Topeka, Kansas, we're still drinking from that well that sparked a revival, a Pentecostal revival that swept this world. Oh, we're still drinking tonight from that well. Oh, moms and dads, let us dig a well that should the Lord tarry and we go on by way of the grave, our children, our grandchildren can fire in the reality of the move of God in our life. Let me try to close. A good friend of mine, he used to pastor Assembly of God in California. He's retired now. But he was raised in Arkansas. They were pagans, raised way back in the, out in the hollers and hills of Arkansas. They were rank A number one pagans. I don't remember how many kids, a bunch of kids in their family. And they had a neighbor, Sister Barton. Only they never called her Sister Barton. They always mocked her. They always called her Holy Roller Barton. Huh? She had her hair up in a bun. She wore dresses. They always called her Holy Roller Barton. I say lived next door. Back in Arkansas, next door was a quarter mile. You know, it's a, you understand, how's the next home. You understand what I'm talking about. One day, my friend's mama goes in to get the baby. Comes out of the room screaming. My friend, who was just a boy at the time, 12, 13 years old, the baby was dead, cold and dead. And she come out screaming. All of a sudden, she wasn't screaming, Holy Roller Barton. She was hollering, go get Sister Barton. My friend said he ran across that field, come to Sister Barton's place. I don't think he knocked. Just flew the door open, said, Sister Barton, come quick. Mama needs you. Said she turned the stove off, pushed everything back. He said he took off running, turned around, and she's right behind him. He said, I come to the fence, said, I jumped the fence. Looked around, she jumped the fence. Whew. She girded her loins and made haste. But anyway, they come flying into that house. Mama's still holding a dead baby crying. Sister Barton come running in, grabbed that child, thrust that child up to heaven, said, in the name of Jesus, live. Said it the second time, in the name of Jesus, live. And the third time she thrust it up toward heaven and said, in the name of Jesus, live. And that baby began to cough and began to cry. God brought life back to that child. But you know what she was doing? She was digging a well. Because that 12-year-old boy said, if I ever get something, I want what Sister Barton has. He ran away from home. Living in Arkansas, ran away from home. Age of 14, was homeless on the streets in Stockton, California. This is we're talking 50 something years ago. This is before homelessness was you know, the vogue of the day. This is before, you know, this is homeless on the streets, Stockton, California. God began to deal with it. He said, I got to find a church like Sister Barton used to go to. Oh, walked into, I believe it was Calvary Assembly of God, Stockton, California. Hallelujah. Found the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Got saved. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. God called him to preach. Pastored a church for 35 years. Oh, you know what he was doing? He was drinking from a well that somebody had dug. Oh, I said he was drinking from a well. Church, someone's going to drink from your well. Let's dig a well. Let's dig a well. Let's dig a well. That somebody says, I want what they've got. I want to drink from that well. Stand with me, please, tonight. Buy that field, build that altar, and dig that well. Hallelujah. Can I talk to you for just a minute, elders? Go ahead. You read some of this modern nonsense church growth trash. They're wanting to push the elders out of the church. Elders, listen to me. God is not done with you. I said, God is not done with you, elders. God needs you. Why? You know how to dig a well. You know how to dig the well. I was in a CA rally back when they had good CA rallies. I was in a CA rally, a youth rally. I was in a CA rally seeking the Holy Ghost. When I got prayed through, guess who was there? My great grandmother and my great aunt. They were there. Oh, they were elders. They knew what it was to dig a well. They knew where to find the water. They knew how to do it. Elders, God's not done with you here. God's got a work for you. He needs you to dig a well. Why? That these young people can see God in you. Dig a well. I know we say, I know it's modern vernacular to say if we're going to have revival, it's going to come in the young people. But I beg to differ. I think if we're going to have revival, it's going to be some elders. They're going to unstop some wells. And they're going to redig some wells. And some young people are going to catch that old man's vision. Oh, that old man's going to catch part of that old man's dream. That old man's going to dream dreams. That young man's going to see visions. The vision was a part of the old man's dream. The old man dug that well. And that young man said, I want what you've got. Moms and dads, you need to dig a well. You need to dig a well. Dig well. Father, we love you. Thank you, love and mercy, goodness, thank you for having the cross. Thank you for the bloodshed for our part. Thank you, Lamb of God, for your good presence. Oh, God, tonight, we need you. Oh, God, we need you. We need your presence. We need your touch. We need the move of the Holy Ghost in our life. Lamb of God, we ask you to deal with every heart, deal with every life, deal with every soul. Lamb of God, move as we gather around these altars. Help us, God, to buy that field and set our life on the Word of God. Help us to build that altar tonight and help us, Lamb of God, to dig that well that somebody can find Jesus in our life. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Quickly, heads bowed, eyes closed between you and the Lord. You're not saved. You're not right with God. You need to get saved. Mama, Daddy, you're here. Maybe you're not saved. You live that unsaved life. There's a 90% or better chance your kids are going to die and go to hell because you won't live for God. You say, preacher, I'm backslid. I'm not saved. I need to get right. I need to get right so my kids have an example to live by. Slip up your hand quickly between you and the Master. See these hands? There's others. You step them back down tonight between you and the Master. I need to get it right. I need to get right with God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. How many young people will say, preacher, I want to buy that field. I want to set my life on the truth of God's Word. Slip your hand and say, that's me. I'm going to buy the field. I'm going to live by God's Word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many to raise your hand tonight with me and say, preacher, I want to build an altar. I want to build an altar. One here tonight, and I'm going to build an altar in my home. I'm going to, in the spiritual sense, I'm going to pray. I'm going to get back to praying. How many of you raise your hands and say, preacher, I want to dig a well. I want to dig a well that my children, that my friends, my family can drink from it. Elders tonight, how many of you elders would say, preacher, I want to dig a well tonight. I want to dig a well that these young people can know reality. I want to dig a well. Hallelujah. Sure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. We're going to open these altars. Oh, we're just going to invite you. Why don't we come? Let's gather around these altars and let's dig a well. Let's dig a well.